Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast interview. I am Chip Brown of Horns 24/7, and I am happy to be joined today by a guy I started off working with. I think, we were over on East 11th Street in Austin at a little shop over there, a little radio shop over there. Now, Ari Temkin is host on Sirius XM Big 12 Radio. You hear him every morning there. You hear him on ESPNU Radio on Sirius XM and also a host on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. You hear him, pre and post for every Dallas Cowboys radio broadcast. As I mentioned, the one and only Ari Temkin. Ari, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Chip. I'm gonna be honest with you. When you initially asked me to come on, you know, I was like, oh, okay, cool, for sure. Like, you know, expecting Taylor to be on. So, I'm kind of disappointed that I'm not doing the interview right now with her, you know, and with you. It's just you, I guess.
I know. I get that a lot, Ari. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. That's a great way to start off this interview.
Taylor. We go way back. I mean, it's crazy to me what you and Taylor are doing at 24/7, all the great folks there at 24/7. And I mean, I listen to this pod all the time. It's a great podcast. You guys do a fantastic job. So it's cool. You know, I mean, look at all of us that were at the Horn together years and years ago. I feel like so much of it, you know, we've done some really cool things, and especially with you and Taylor, and Taylor, you know, managing editor now at 24/7. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is cool, and it's great to catch up with you, because I love it. You're talking to everyone across the Big 12 every morning on SiriusXM Radio, and so I'm like, I gotta get my man Ari on now that spring football's kind of wrapped up here, get his thoughts on the Longhorns, and then, you know, we'll talk a little Cowboys, NFL draft, that kind of thing. But let me get your thoughts on Steve Sarkisian as the head coach, and what you think of how things are going so far.
I mean, I would say it's been pretty close to perfect, you know, in terms of what he's gotten in terms of transfers, the quick returns in recruiting, you know, things that are being said about recruits in recruiting. You know, I was watching this offense at Alabama. This is something I wanted to be a part of. Like, this is why you hire Steve Sarkisian, right? Like, you hire him because of that, and it's already paying dividends, you know, and such a short period of time for him to make the inroads that he's making already. You know, I mean, you have to hit the ground running when you're hired. You know, I mean, it's, you're so far behind in college football anytime you're hired. You know, because just especially with the early signing period, and you know, and then you get into spring. I mean, it's just such a quick transition. So I would say, you know, in terms of the things that we can, you know, I mean, it's hard to gauge, you know, I mean, they haven't played any football games yet, but obviously I think, you know, everything we've seen, you know, and then what you hear, you know, where I think there was this, you know, period where there was this need to be that, you know, the stern fist of, you know, with Charlie Strong and Tom Herman, or Herman is measuring their pee, and, you know, like, just like this, like, treat us like grownups.
Yes.
You know,
my, like, what are we, category was your, if your pee looks like rust, you're a bad guy. You're a bad person. But yeah.
What?
Oh yeah. The pee chart. If you're
the pee, you know, chart, I
your
mean,
pee is light, super light,
you're a bad, you're person.
A champion, you're a champion.
Oh yeah, but Ross, you're a bad, you're a bad.
Yeah, the darker it gets, the worse it is. Anyway.
No, I mean, so, you know, it's like, it's refreshing to hear, you hear some of the players, and we had the opportunity to interview Bijan Robinson, you know, a few others. And it's like, you know, you just tell that, like, it's just a, you know, like most college football programs, they're treating these guys like adults and not, you know, not having to come down hard, but, you know, be really, you know, cause this idea of, well, they have it so light and it's, you know, it's, there's an entitlement, you know, I mean, you don't, I don't, if that is true, and I still think that's just such a broad brush, but like, you don't come in and just be gangbusters. And like, it just seems like that's not the right approach, even though it, like, it's the old school football approach. So it's a long answer, Chip, but I think there's a lot here to really love about Sark from the start. Now, you know, it's a start. And as Oklahoma fans, we'll be very quick to point out, we've always heard that. Okay, well, we get it. Like, sure. But I think this is different. I really do.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You point out the fact that Herman came in with the Urban Meyer model.
Right. Right.
Everything was a competition and you had to wake up for your hydration test in the middle of the night. And it, you know, PJ Locke getting cussed out for leaving his water bottle in the student lounge or the football players lounge at Moncrief and on and on. So in comes Steve Sarkisian, who's talking about being, you know, a transparent guy who's about relationships, and the players seem to be responding. And we'll see, because I'll say this about Tom Herman. His teams were tough. They played physical. They played close games. They never got blown out. I mean, his worst loss was a 17-point loss in year one at TCU. And normally they were, even as bad as they played at times, they were within a possession in the second half. So
that's a great point. Chip, let me ask you something. Do you think, and this is, you know, this is just, we're just throwing stuff against the wall here, or I am, but do you think when you have, I mean, you're right, they were physical, always physical football team, no doubt about it. But do you think that the edge, that it makes people uneasy to a certain degree? And so in those biggest moments, the biggest games, you sort of don't make plays because of that? Do you think that, like, the fear of screwing up and getting chewed out is something that sort of, you know, exacerbates his record in close games and how many close games he play and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something now to look at, and probably time to talk to some former players and see with regard to that, because there were games definitely that got away. I mean, last year they had a 10-point lead on Iowa State,
right.
And
right,
you know, a couple of failed fourth downs later, and suddenly they're kicking 57-yard field goals to try to force overtime. So so from your vantage point, and of course you talk to other folks across the Big 12, what's your sense of the Big 12's view of Texas under Steve Sarkisian?
I don't think there's a true fear yet, and I say yet because, you know, I think Sark is going to be really good. And I thought that they could do better. I wasn't sure on this second go around with the issues he's had, you know, so I wasn't just enamored with the hire, but again, I just kind of open-minded. Now you look at what's transpired since the hire, and I love what he's doing and what he's done in a short period of time in terms of the talent business. And so, like, you know, this is a big year, and they're in really good position to show off this offense. Granted, the quarterback situation, but when you have a talent like Robinson at running back, I think the idea of what people are saying about coming here now, about, you know, the Alabama style offense, you know, that fun offense, I think it's perfect given the personnel that they have this year to sort of continue to move that forward. So I think most around the Big 12 think I'll believe it when I see it with Texas. And so even in that vein, you have people that are, you know, I mean, I think Texas right now is third in the conference, but you have a lot of people that will say Oklahoma State and make other claims just because of the idea of we've heard Texas be overhyped. And maybe, you know, third seems ridiculous for an overhype, but Oklahoma's really good this year, obviously, at Iowa State is too. I mean, you've got two legit national title contenders. So I think like the idea of whoever is third in this conference, you know, is top end, is really good. You know, I think that's, there's still people, I mean, I would say the majority of the conference doesn't yet, it's a believe it, it's a wait and see approach. And yeah. I'd say it's fair. I'd say it's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've said people should hope for the same arc as Mac Brown, you know, win nine games in year one with a potential Heisman candidate and then hope you can go up from there. And
no, I think Chip, just to like nine wins in the big, like with the Big 12 schedule this year, if you look at some of the rankings for the toughest schedules in America this year, the majority of them are Big 12 teams because the conference is so loaded. Part of the reason they were so abysmal in this draft is because a lot of guys are coming back and, yeah, and using the extra year. So yeah, I mean, just to echo your point, you know, I mean, like a 9-win season this year would be tremendous. I think, again, given sort of the landscape, what they have out of conference, and then of course how good this conference should be.
When you look at the quarterback situation, that's where it all starts, right? What's your take on Casey Thompson versus Hudson Card?
I mean, it seems like, you know, house money would be on Casey, and you know, I mean, we've all heard why, you know, and it's obvious. I mean, you play that well in a big game, and it's going to stand out. Plus, a guy that's been here, that you know has sat. I think there's also an element of like he's transferring if he's not the starter. Like I don't know that, but I believe that.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot on him now. I also think Sark is completely and utterly willing to, okay, trans, you know, like he, I don't think that's going to weigh on his decision. And it just seems like everything we've heard, and even going back to what Elliger was saying about Hudson Card, he's the guy with more upside and talent. So, you know, I would say house money, you know, you're probably on betting on Casey, but I don't know that the end of the season, Casey Thompson's the starter. I think Hudson Card at some point, if he's not the starter from the beginning, will take this job over and we'll never give it back.
Interesting. Yeah. Sam Ellinger talking about how the ball comes out of Hudson Card's hand, and he's got a great arm. He can touch all areas of the field with that arm. Got to throw with a little more touch on, you know, the deep ball, which he airmailed in the spring game, and on some of those zone or throws against zone where you got to kind of arc it over the linebacker and in front of the defensive back. But that's why Steve Sarkisian is making $5.2 million, because this is, you know, that's the fun part for me, is Lincoln Riley elevates quarterbacks and offenses. And Steve Sarkisian just did that at Alabama with a guy like Mac Jones, who wasn't even expected by his own fan base to be the starter. It was Bryce Young, the five-star freshman. But then Mac Jones, you know, becomes a Heisman finalist, leads his team to the national championship, and ends up being a first-round pick in the NFL draft. So I just can't wait to see Texas and OU go at it with two of the best play callers in college football.
What do you think, Chip? I mean, do you agree, one, that Thompson transfers if he's not the starter, and two, that, you know, that he will be, or, you know, what do you think?
I think Casey, who graduates in May, you know, I think Sarkisian has, because he's seen it from Casey, and I think Casey is the more vocal guy.
Right.
I think Casey made a lot of good throws this spring. He obviously had the pick six in the spring game, but heck, he made good throws in the spring game up until that point. converted third and eight where he got flushed and rolled to his right and hit Jordan Whittington for 23 yards in stride. Those kinds of plays took the offense right down the field for a touchdown on the first drive. Hits Joshua Moore for a perfect 34-yard touchdown pass. Moore can't hang on to it. I think Casey's the starter for game one. And if it's his job to lose, if he keeps playing the way he was playing at the end of last year, then he's the man. If he struggles and Hudson Card comes in, it could be an interesting situation. But that's kind of how I see it right now. Now they've got all summer and fall camp to go, but at this moment, that's how I see it. Let's talk about the NFL draft for a second. Did anything surprise you as it pertains to the Longhorns? Sam Ehlinger goes to the Indianapolis Colts late in the draft. Joseph Osai goes to the Cincinnati Bengals in the middle of the draft. Caden Stearns to the Denver Broncos. Taquan Graham to the Atlanta Falcons. Anything surprise you or you find interesting?
Well, I mean, number one, I mean, the Big 12 was just horrendous. It's the first time in the history of the Big 12, which formed in 1996, as you know, buddy, that there was not a single first-round draft pick. The first Big 12 player to come off the board was Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma State. It's 39 to my Chicago Bears. I mean, it was Caden Stearns to go as far, was he a fifth-round pick? Like, that's crazy given, you know, I mean, look, you don't hit on every five-star, but, you know, a lot of these guys are normally picked higher in the draft. I mean, you know, I definitely didn't think Cosme or Osai were going to be first-round picks, but I guess I didn't also put it out of the question. You know, given that we've seen some surprises from the Big 12 in the first round, I mean, Jordan Brooks is a first-round draft pick last year. I don't think many people thought he was a first-round draft pick. LJ Collier the year before that, so the same team nonetheless. So I thought maybe Seattle would take that. Seattle had a first-round pick. Maybe they would have taken Joseph Osai at the end of the first round. Because since they've done the last two drafts, taking Big 12 players that weren't projected as first-round picks. But, I mean, it was just – you know, Ehlinger gets drafted given, you know, the leadership and just the competitiveness and the toughness that he's shown throughout the course of his career. I mean, we know he just didn't show much in terms of an ability to consistently or even very, very much at all get the ball down the field, you know, and he was just a very much an underneath kind of guy who was able to, you know, moxie his way down the field with, you know, nice throws underneath and then runs. So, you know, the fact that he gets drafted, the Colts thought that highly of him. You know, I think this is a guy that just given that could probably, you know, it'd be great to see him compete for a starter at some point, but it's probably going to be a Colt McCoy lifetime backup. And I'm not comparing the two. Obviously they're two completely different players, but you know, I mean, Colts made a lot of money sticking around and being a backup quarterback in the NFL. And I think Ehlinger, you know, has that smarts and experience and toughness and competitiveness that he could too.
Yeah, I think you're right on that.
And but let me say the biggest thing here, Chip. Don't stay in school, kids. Chuba Hubbard was the best running back in the Big 12 a couple of years ago. He was going to be a, you know, second, third round pick. I mean, he was drafted behind Kenny Nwangu, who was the backup to Breece Hall at Iowa State. I mean, like, Chuba lost so much money going back to Oklahoma State to play in a pandemic year. It just... Don't stay in school, kids. As the great Sean Adams used to say, schools aren't going anywhere. They're going to be there. So get your degree, but go get your money.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And on that note, let's take a quick break on that. Don't stay in school message from Ari Temkin. but we'll be back with Ari Temkin to get his thoughts on the rest of the Big 12 and the hiring of Chris Beard. We'll do it next right here on the Flagship Podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back with Ari Temkin, fresh from his don't stay in school message. Ari, you mentioned OU and Iowa.
Stay at school. Unless you're Chuba Hubbard, you lost a lot of money by not staying, by not leaving last year.
Yes. Important caveat. You mentioned OU and Iowa State as the favorites in the Big 12. Who do you like of those two?
I mean, I said this last year. I'm not picky. It's like Kansas when they were on their run and then in basketball. Like, I'm just not picky against OU until somebody beats them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I mean, Iowa State is loaded. And, you know, I mean, I think Brock Purdy has to have, I mean, he has to be the best quarterback in the Big 12 for them to have a chance. And look, he's shown in his career to be a really good quarterback. I think last year he had some struggles, and he has had some struggles at times. So, I mean, we know what to expect out of Oklahoma. The thing is, their defense is also going to be really good. I think Alex Grinch is going to be a head coach somewhere next year, because I think that highly of this defense and how much that will have people talk about him as head coach. So I'd love to see Iowa State do it. I think, I mean, this is still historic, and Matt Campbell is an unbelievable coach and program builder and game changer. And it's fantastic that he's going to be sticking around the Big 12, you know, and not taking NFL offers. So, you know, I'm just not going to pick against Oklahoma until somebody beats him.
Well, that game is in Norman in late November, and OU's non-conference schedule is not much. It's at Tulane, home against Western Carolina, and then Nebraska. Now, Nebraska was when that game was agreed to, I'm sure Nebraska was a better program than they are now. And Iowa State, of course, plays Iowa. They play Iowa every year as their marquee non-conference game. They play Northern Iowa, and then they play at UNLV. But on November 20th, those two will face off in Norman, Oklahoma. And last year, OU had the front-loaded schedule in the Big 12. And this year it's Texas. Texas has to play TCU on the road right before they play OU. Then they play Oklahoma State the week after OU. So Steve Sarkisian's going to play. And TCU has been their nemesis. I mean, they're 2-7 in their last 9 against TCU. That's confounding. I mean, that's got to stop if Texas is ever going to be taken seriously as a Big 12 title contender. So Steve Sarkisian can start to work on that one. That would be a good thing to do. Talking to Ari Temkin, you hear him on Big 12 radio on Sirius XM, ESPNU on Sirius XM radio, as well as the Dallas Cowboys radio broadcast team. And Ari, let me, before we move on to the Cowboys, because I think Brennan Eagles is going to be a free agent signing with the Cowboys. But give me your thoughts on Chris Beard, the hiring of Chris Beard in conference as the new basketball coach at Texas.
Holy cow. I mean, if Steve Sarkisian made an impression quickly, wow. My God, he is a fire-breathing dragon, and everybody should be very afraid and is afraid. And he is really pissing off everybody in the Big 12. I mean, yeah, obviously he's pissing off Texas Tech. He's pissing off Kansas because he took our best assistant. I mean, he's taking recruits away from, I mean, he's pissing everybody off. So, you know, I thought, you know, we have just seen a lot of guys. I mean, I kind of figured he was like the Matt Campbell of basketball in this conference, you know, where it's like he liked being at Tech. But I mean, I kind of, as you did, Chip, kind of got the sense, you know, 2 weeks before it happened, a week before, I mean, after both Tech and Tech throughout the tournament, that it was going to happen, you know. Whereas, like, if you asked me in season, you think, you know, Chris Beard would leave Tech for Texas if Shaka left or if Shaka was fired? I'd be like, I don't think so. But I mean, like, as soon as this bowl season were over, I think it was pretty obvious based on people we talked to that, yeah, it was going to happen. And that he just, you know, knew what he could do at Texas and what his ceiling was at Texas versus what it was at Tech, which, you know, I mean, obvious, and especially with the new arena coming. And so, I mean, he has just the transfers. I mean, Timmy Allen, I mean, is going to be just an absolute load. I mean, it's a guy that was, you know, in 2 years has been all Pac-12 twice. He's just a monster last year. He just provides something they haven't really had. I think Jericho Sims sort of became that. But, I mean, my God, is this guy, you know, just good. And, I mean, he's vicious.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he's, you know, just the Devin Askew, a guy that has tons of upside, we know. I mean, Allen's a guy that's shown it. Askew's a guy that there's still a lot of unknowns about. He's obviously a five-star and comes from Kentucky and he's a big name, so there's that. But the recruiting,
yeah, from Vanderbilt,
right. The kid from is he from Round Rock or
yeah, Pflugerville Hendrickson?
Pflugerville, yeah. So, and then recruiting, and I mean, the thing at Tech that he always did so well was the transfer portal, and that, you know, he got guys, premier guys, to come there and got the most out of them and turned them into NBA draft picks. And so that, you know, sort of like we talked about with Sark and the recruiting pitch for Alabama, it's very much a part of the consciousness of these guys that are that he's recruiting in the transfer portal. And now, I mean, it's like the perfect timing too, given the nature of the transfer portal. I mean, there's like thousands of kids in there. Yeah. And so, you know, it was just the perfect timing for Chris Beard, given, you know, his acumen, his ability in the transfer market, and we just know he's going to clean up recruiting Austin, you know. And I mean, it's a different world now, and it's, you know, we're yet to sort of completely understand the machinations and the unintended consequences of what, you know, what this quote unquote free agency is going to look like with the 1 year free transfer. And I'm all for it. I'm all for players' rights, but you know, there's going to be recruiting that happens when they're coming out of high school, and then there's going to be continual recruiting. And in basketball, you know, I think it'll be different in basketball than in football because of the nature of rosters. The, you know, one guy cannot get minutes. He thinks he should be getting at one place. And then, you know, I'm not trying to say the coaches are going to tamper, but coaches will tamper and tell them they can get bigger minutes somewhere else. And so, you know, and this is just obviously a commentary on college basketball as a whole, not on Chris Beard, but
right.
He's going to recruit Austin. We know that everybody recruits Austin. He's going to be able to recruit to get kids to Austin from the high school level and the transfer market, especially this year. It's just, I honestly think, and we still don't even know the situation with Greg Brown and Jericho Sims, right? They haven't made a decision yet. So those guys come back. I mean, it's like, you almost like with Matt Campbell declare, it was like, I mean, not good, but like there's too many good play. Like there's not enough balls. They only play with one basketball.
Right.
So
right. When Matt Coleman said, "Hey, I'm out." It's like, okay.
I wish you were back, but not really. And that's not a knock against Matt Coleman, a really good player. There's just, I genuinely think they're the front runners for the Big 12 championship with the moves that they've made.
Yeah.
Considering the rest of the conference.
I agree. I think they're in the mix. I mean, he said we're going to win now, and I absolutely, I mean, everywhere he's been, even before the transfer portal existed, he at UALR at Arkansas Little Rock, he brought in three transfers, took a 14 and 18 team to 30-5 and knocked off Purdue, you know, as a 12 seed, knocked off fifth seeded Purdue. And then he lands at Texas Tech, and 2 years in, he's in the Elite Eight. The third year, he's in the national championship game. So,
and turned over a roster.
Right.
He went to the Elite Eight, and he lost four of his five main players.
Yep.
And went to the national title game. I mean, he's, I mean, I went to Kansas, as you know, Chip. There are very few coaches I would take over Bill Self. And I'm not saying I would take Chris Beard over Bill Self, but I might take Chris Beard over Bill Self.
Yeah. I mean, I think I heard Kansas fans saying, man, you know, if when Self moves on, and of course now he's got a lifetime contract there, they wanted Chris Beard under consideration. And so I think Texas fans should feel, I've said, be more patient with Sark than you are with Chris Beard, because Chris Beard,
right.
Beard expects to be, you know, he expects to be in that Monday night game that he talks about, the national championship game, sooner rather than later. So it's going to be fun. And with the new arena, I think it was a great hire by Chris Del Conte. It was the perfect hire, in my opinion. And now we'll see, you know, how he does with it. Cause obviously Baylor, the defending national champion, unbelievable. And of course, Kim Mulkey just moved on to LSU. So Baylor fans are like, okay, what's going on? What's happening here? But they've got that national championship trophy sitting on their mantle.
Well, and Chip, I mean, Texas Tech is the first non-Kansas Big 12 team to play for a national title. Texas Tech. Of all the years of the Big 12, there have been Final Four contenders, Final Four teams, but never a national championship team that played in the national title other than Kansas. And it's now happened back-to-back with Texas Tech and Baylor. But Chris Beard did that at Texas Tech. What is he going to do at Texas? My God.
Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. All right. Talking to Ari Temkin, of course, you hear him on Big 12 radio on Sirius XM radio and ESPNU. And he's on the Dallas Cowboys radio network doing pregame and postgame for the Cowboys. And Ari, just give me a couple takeaways on the Dallas Cowboys draft.
So, I mean, look, I think there are rumors, and certainly, you know, there's legitimate speculation because of things that Stephen Jones said, that they did want to move up to the first round to draft J.C. Horn, or to draft a corner who I believe to be J.C. Horn, because I think he was the best corner in this draft. And I think the Cowboys thought he was the best corner in this draft, but that it was too rich for their blood, you know. And I just, you know, I think I think at times you've got to be like, what is that? I mean, did you have to give them a future first? Is that what it's going to take? I mean, look, Micah Parsons, I think Cowboys fans are 50-50 on him. And you know, even ones that maybe aren't, you know, are more about, it's not a premium position. So, you know, don't take sort of a, you know, a non-premium position at that spot in the draft. But I mean, he's 6'3 and runs a 4.39 40. I mean, he's very much a modern linebacker. So I believe Micah Parsons will have a really good NFL career. But if you like J.C. Horn, he's your guy, go get him. You know, this is just such a, they're just not an aggressive team. They hoard their draft picks like they're Gollum. I mean, it's frustrating because you want them to feel the urgency of the fan base. And maybe urgency is not a good tactic, but when you've been, you're along with the Detroit Lions and Washington football team, the only teams in the NFC that haven't played for an NFC title in, my God, three decades, it's you just want to see more urgency. And so, especially at a premium position where you thought you'd be able to pick one of those guys. It's funny because I was thinking going in the draft that, you know, go offense, there'll be really good offensive players for you. And one of those guys was Rashawn Slater, who they obviously passed up on. So, you know, I just, I hate for a team to have to settle at 10, and it seems like that's what they did. Beyond that, I mean, they went very athletic in this draft. You know, they took the third round was interesting because they had three picks, and they took the corner out of Oregon State that, I mean, not a lot of people had scouted. He was very much off the radar. If people had him, they had him graded as a sixth or a seventh. And, you know, this is what the Cowboys are paid to do. Their scouting department, not people that cover it, you know, for year round as people do, but you know, it's sometimes maybe the media, you know, they think, oh, I never watched this guy. This guy got drafted in the third round. Well, I mean, like, maybe that's on you, you know, but Dane Brugler, who I respect the hell out of, he does a fantastic job in covering the draft for The Athletic. And he was on the Cowboys draft show, and he has been the past. He wasn't on last year. It was a travesty. He's awesome. And, you know, he was, so I'm listening to it live, and he's this guy they drafted. I can't remember his name. It's third round pick out of Oregon State corner. He's like 6'4".
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just an athletic freak. And, you know, Dane was like, yeah, it looks weird because he's like towering over receivers. You're just not used to seeing that. But I mean, he said he graded him as a seventh, but you know, that he would encourage people to watch film and do their own research and stuff. But so I think they had a weird draft. They went heavy on athletes. They definitely looked at athletic traits. I definitely think they paid attention to positions that they haven't to in the past, except for safety. But they've done a really good job at that nose tackle. They got the corner they got in the second round should be a really good player. I honestly really like their first two picks. And part of this too, Chip, is you just have to look at the history of these guys. And I'm sure there are a lot of Cowboy fans that aren't really high on them as a draft team, but my God, they're really good. Will McClay and his scouting department are consistently good. And the reason that this team is as good as it is because of their drafts, because they don't spend money in free agency. And not only have they been good, they've been particularly good in the first round. Now they have had some misses, and some of those misses have been on defense. You know, Taco Charlton was a huge miss. It was a really bad pick. You could certainly conveniently chalk it up to Rod Marinelli, who pounded the table for that guy. You know, Tristan Hill was a second round pick at UCF, who was much better last year, but didn't play his rookie year. Jalen Smith, you know, he's been productive and played a lot of snaps. Second round pick, probably not what you want in terms of talent second round, considering what was on the board. So, you know, they have missed on defense, but overall they consistently hit in the first round on guys. And so I think you sort of have to, you know, if you root for a team that's bad in the draft, you have a right to, you know, if they draft a guy that's great as a seventh round pick in the third round, you have a right to be upset. But with this team, they seem to hit, and they have very much zeroed in on where their flaws were last year in the draft. And the thing is, Chip, if this team stays healthy on offense, they just need to not be horrible on defense. You know, they don't need to be great on defense. They don't even need to be good on defense. They need to be average or not the worst scoring defense in the history of the Cowboys, bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. Kelvin Joseph, the cornerback from Kentucky. And then I can't even pronounce the UCLA defensive tackle's name.
Oh, best name in the world. Osa, say it with me.
Odigizuwa.
Odigizuwa. Oso Odigizuwa.
Oh, yeah. And then Chauncey Golston, the defensive end from Iowa in the third round. Nashon Wright, the 6'4 corner from Oregon State that your man Dane Brugler had as a seventh round pick. And then Jabril Cox, the linebacker from LSU via is he the kid who came over from North Dakota State? Anyway, he went in the fourth round, and then they ended up with a corner from South Carolina, just not J.C. Horn, Israel Mukuamu. Ay, ay, ay. So say that fast. Even
well, then say, I'll say the Stanford receiver's name.
Oh, yeah. Simi Fehoko.
Nice.
Hello, Brad Sham. Get your pronouncer key going. Ari, great stuff, my man. And Brendan Eagles, I don't know how long he'll last, but
you know, the thing about guys like that, and you know, this becomes a point towards the end of the draft, especially when it comes to guys that were at the Senior Bowl. But you got to be able to play on spec. Like, if Brandon Eagles is going to make a team, I don't know if it'll be the Cowboys or where it is, he's got to play special teams and be good on special teams.
Yep.
You know, and that's what you have to, like, a lot of these guys don't get it, you know, where it's like they, and I'm not saying this is Brandon Eagles. I'm just saying there are a lot of guys in college football that do this, where it's like they just think they're stars, and it's like they're not willing to get their noses dirty. And it's like a lot of guys make a lot of money doing that over, you know, over the course of a good NFL career.
No doubt. And if he's not ready for that, he won't make it past the first weekend of rookie OTAs. So, Ari, great stuff, man. Tell everyone where they can find you, and you know, what you got going this week.
Yeah, no, check out, you know, SiriusXM, subscribe to SiriusXM. You can check out Big 12 Radio, channel 375, or ESPNU. You can hear me there on channel 84. And, you know, I say this, and I'll say this about 24/7, you know, support companies and businesses that support good content and care about good content, which I believe 24/7 absolutely does. And, you know, find folks over there. I, as I said, listen to your podcast a lot. I check a lot. I have a subscription to the 24/7 everywhere. And I'm constantly reading all of this, you know, great stuff that you put out and everybody puts out across the 24/7 family. And SiriusXM, I feel the same way. You know, they care about content. It's a world in which less companies care about good content. So support the folks that care about good content.
I love it. I love it. Well, there he is, Ari Temkin. And Ari, thanks so much. And for Ari Temkin, I am Chip Brown of Horns 24/7. And until next time, right here on the Flagship Podcast, everybody stay safe and keep the faith.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.